It's Marketplace Tech for October 2nd from New York. I'm Mark Garrison, in for Ben Johnson. If you're a T-Mobile customer or prospective customer, there's a chance hackers have your social security number and know where you live. The accounts of some 15 million Americans are compromised. It's because of a breach at Experian, the company T-Mobile uses to check potential subscribers' credit. Experian says hackers broke into its system and stole 3 years' worth of personal information. Ads can be infuriating when you're trying to read something on your smartphone, but they can also help pay the bills for the sites you enjoy. Hence the blessing and the curse of ad blockers. They can speed up your mobile content, but also make it hard for content providers to make a living. The latest iPhone operating system supports ad blocking, so Brian X. Chen tested iPhone ad blockers for the New York Times. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Mark.
How surprised were you when you found out just how much data these ads can eat up?
I was pretty shocked. So what the New York Times graphics team and I did was we tested 50 of the top news sites on the internet. When you add it all up across the board, more than half of the mobile data that you consume is all advertising, more than half. So in some ways, it's almost like saying, hey, would you like some content with your ads?
And that's one of the reasons why these ad blocking apps are starting to have appeal, because people are concerned about running over their data limits and having to pay bigger phone bills. So tell me about the ad blocking apps you did test and which one stood out for you.
I tested three different apps. They're called Purify, Crystal, and a third one was called OneBlocker. Of the three of them, I decided to go with Purify, not only because it had the fastest loading times in our testing, but also it gives me the ability to whitelist a website that has advertising that I respect and also a website that I like.
Okay, and I'm looking at your article and I'm on my phone, which is not using blocking technology just yet, and I see ads for Seamless, Calvin Klein. These do help pay your salary. You do say in the piece that you're not going to block New York Times ads, but you're using these blockers elsewhere. Is there any guilt about potentially blocking revenue for sites where fellow journalists are working?
I could definitely see people making that argument, but I think publishers do have an obligation to strike some sort of balance in finding advertising that's respectful to consumers and their devices and still being able to monetize off those, but not, you know, draining our battery and making us consume too much data that could push us over our data limits.
Brian X. Chen with the New York Times. Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
Hackers with ties to Russia tried to break into Hillary Clinton's famed private email account while she was Secretary of State. Emails released Wednesday show that she got multiple messages aimed at tricking her into opening an attachment that would let hackers inside her computer. It's not clear whether she opened them. Clinton's campaign continues to claim there's no evidence her email system was cracked. It's Friday, which means it's time for Silicon Tally, where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news. Today, our guest is Ina Fried, senior editor at Recode. Ina, are you ready to play?
Looking forward to it.
Okay, let's do it. 97%.
I might need a hint there.
Okay, how about 97% in German?
The percentage of Volkswagen owners that are pretty angry this week?
That is likely also true, but that is actually the percent stake that Axel Springer now has in Business Insider and Tech Insider. And as you may know from some of your colleagues, former employees of Business Insider get a nice little boost out of that. So I know there are some of those folks at Recode who are we're happy to see that.
Yeah,
news,
Peter Kafka has to buy me lunch if I don't win.
Okay, you got a number for me?
All right, $132,000.
$132,000. I don't know. What do you got?
That's the starting price for the Tesla Model X Signature Edition, which Elon Musk showed off. I think there's only about six of them, so you have time to save up your money.
Okay, yeah. I may need to pursue financing for that one. We'll find out how that works. Yeah. All right. I got a number for you. $7.6
million. $7.6 million. It's not Donald Trump's haircutting budget. Can I get a hint?
It is evaluation of an app that will almost certainly be really obnoxious if people start to use it.
One of the ad blocking apps?
No, this is the app called People, spelled P-E-E-P-L-E.
Oh, it's like the Yelp for people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, good one.
They claim to be, quote, the founders, that is, spreading love and positivity. But,
yeah, we'll see about that.
I must say I have my doubts as to how long that would last before the nastiness starts.
I'm with you on that one. All right, got one more for you. 140.
Well, that's the number of characters in a tweet. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
That's right, but only for now. So Recode reported this week that
We're having character inflation.
So, yeah, you may be able to somehow get more than 140 characters in your tweets coming up soon. But that is correct, because it's correct for now.
What does one do with a few extra characters? I mean, you have a plan, Ina?
I'm so used to, shortening everything. You know, they don't even need more than two characters to fill their CEO spot. They just alternate between the same couple of people. So I don't know why anyone would need 140 characters more.
Ina Fried is senior editor at Recode and also the producer of next week's Code Mobile Conference. Thanks very much, Ina.
Thanks for having me.
Speaking of Twitter, new user Edward Snowden is learning about one of the hazards of the service. The NSA leaker sent his first tweet only Tuesday, but already racked up more than 1.2 million followers. But he says he didn't turn off email notifications when signing up. The result? An astounding 47 gigabytes worth of Twitter notifications. I'm Mark Garrison, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.